It's time for Today in Tech, episode 49, the show that covers all things tech, and this week, iPhone cases. From Cincinnati, Ohio, I'm Dylan Combs, and to my right, virtually anyway, is my co-host that's on every week, Kat Armstrong. Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
How are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you.
That is good. I hear you've got, coming up in a few minutes, some cases or something?
I do. Dave Delaney is the community manager at Griffin Technology, maker of all things goodness for iPhones and iPads. And he's a good friend of mine. And I said, hey, Dave, I want to review some iPhone 4 cases because I just got my iPhone 4. And he says, great idea. So I have some cases to review and two of them to give away.
Sounds like fun. Also on the virtual Skype table, Mr. Bradley Horton, as always.
Hey, what's up?
Yay.
What's up? How have you been?
Pretty good. Just got over a fever.
Oh.
Bradley was sick this week.
I'm always sick, but this time...
Yeah, you've been sick for a while this time.
Yeah, it's been coming on and off, but this time I believe I'm fully done with it. I'm good to go.
Just in time for your birthday on Monday.
Yeah.
You knew I was going to mention
happy
that,
birthday.
Right?
Happy birthday.
Happy early birthday. This is a big one for you.
Yeah, I'll be 18. I'll be able to do a bunch of random crap.
Ooh.
We'll see how that goes. I have no idea what I'm really going to do. I do plan on having people over for Sunday. Some people that, you know, usually come over for events like this, so it should be interesting.
And hopefully give you money or good presents.
I'm not asking for anything, but if they want to give me stuff, sure.
See, you're lucky. Your birthday is right around Christmas time, so if you just ask everybody to give you money, you'll just get a bunch of money in December every year.
Yeah, pretty much. That's usually what I get anyway, because they know me. I want something that I can buy myself, because usually when people... There's always a risk when you buy something for somebody, and they may not like it, or you give them a gift card, they don't shop at that store. The safest bet is money.
Well, especially with you, because you are so much into tech, and from what you've told me in the past, a lot of your family is not, so they wouldn't have a clue what to go and actually get.
Yeah, I just tell them, you don't have to get me anything, but if you do, just give over the Benjamins.
Or the gift cards.
I'm not too crazy about gift cards. Because
really?
Me
you're
either.
Limited.
You know what I do
you're
with
limited.
Gift cards?
The most logical thing about money, or the most logical thing to give you is money. A gift card, you end up using $20 of it, and you're left with that $5 you don't know what to do with.
True.
And you know,
true.
It's a hassle. It's a limitation. I don't get why people care about gift cards so much.
I sell my gift cards when I get gift cards.
Yeah.
I really do. And whether it's to one of those services that you mail them into or just somebody around here, hey, you want to buy a $50 gift card for $40? People buy that shit really, really quick.
And you know, yeah, I would say iTunes gift cards are the only kind I like.
Yeah.
Because they're so... But other than that, I'm not too crazy about them. But, hey.
See, I tell people the same thing. Just give me money, and when they ask why, I say because I need money more than I need stuff.
Right.
You don't have to give me anything.
See, the problem with that is anybody that gives me money, 99.9% of the time, I use it to either pay bills, buy groceries, or turn around and buy things for my children. Instead of myself.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Holidays are way too commercialized.
But that's what I choose to do with it, so.
Commercial. Yeah, Christmas
it's
is extremely
money.
Commercialized.
Use it when you need it.
Except I already did get my Christmas money from my dad, and I did use it on myself. You'll be happy to know.
You bought Cataclysm.
Yes, I bought Cataclysm for World of Warcraft. It's hot. Very hot.
Have you
played
it?
But we're not discussing
it?
Cataclysm this week. Have I played it? A little bit, yes. But as you know, my graphics processing unit is trying to die.
Yeah.
And shoots up to 94C every time I log into my game.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah, Dylan about had a heart attack when I was at his house last week, and then he saw that happen.
I about had a heart attack when it hit 80, and I'm sitting here thinking, okay, integrated graphics, 80 degrees. That's pretty bad, but it's not extremely bad yet. And then it went up to 94, and I was just like, oh my god, you could fry food on that.
I'm sitting there at his house, and he's flipping out. So what did we do? We backed up my stuff to his network, wiped the machine, installed Windows 7. It actually is running a little better now. Not only faster, the temperatures
are... It's like 200 degrees Fahrenheit. I don't know the exact conversion, but that's like 200 to 20 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, it's insane.
Well, what's boiling?
And, it's about 85, 86, which is still too hot.
In Fahrenheit, what's boiling temperature?
What?
212, I think.
212. So, yeah, that's right. In Celsius, 100 is boiling.
Yeah, but that's for water.
94 degrees Celsius is 201.2 degrees Fahrenheit. So yeah, my computer is about to boil.
Yeah, but you gotta remember that's for boiling point for water.
I know, but you know, figuratively speaking, that's what.
But yeah, that is bad. That you don't want it to go above 90 at all. I mean, graphics cards are designed to be really hot, but you're talking about a little chip inside an all-in-one computer that doesn't have much room to breathe. They can easily heat up.
Right.
That's the problem with some of these all-in-one computers.
Mm-hmm. So luckily, tax time is right around the corner in just a few weeks. And I've already picked out a machine. I have, you know, a machine that was sent to me, and it just needs a few parts, and it's going to be kick-ass.
Yeah. It's more than what you need, and it's a great price, and there's no excuse not to get it.
Yep.
I remember when you were here, Kat, and I had to show you my temperatures, and I just pulled them up again now on SpeedFan.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing is over 35.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep in mind, I broke one of my fans.
Even with nothing running other than like MIRC and a browser and stuff, it still stays around 65 all the time.
It really is. That all-in-one environment is not the best.
Yeah. And somebody on LockerGnome.net last night said, you know, my dad is considering getting a Touch Smart for my mom for Christmas, and he wanted to know, you know, can you use an external mouse with it? I'm like, yeah. But I said, you know, honestly, I'd like to know why he feels this is the right machine. Because personally, after having used one as my primary machine for 2 years, I wouldn't recommend it.
For the same price as a Touch Smart, you could go with a regular tower PC and with an ATX form factor and buy a touchscreen monitor.
These Touch Smarts are expensive. And they are nice, don't get me wrong. And I don't want to knock it because it was free, and I do love HP for this. And it has been good to me. However, there are issues that you just cannot get around.
Well, personally, I'm not the biggest crazy person about the touchscreen monitors where you have to lift your hand up because you will tire out quickly.
Oh, yeah.
That's why it's good for iPads and iPhones and small form factor devices that lay on the ground. Gravity is on your side, but you're putting your hand up here. Yeah, it sounds like you're being lazy and everything, but if you keep doing that every day, you're going to feel strained.
Nick from our chat room just asked, do I ever even use the touchscreen? Honestly, I don't that much know, because you do have to reach your hand out and hold it there. Yes, I'll use it to open or close a program or something like that, but other than that, no. I've used it to play solitaire.
The fingerprints.
That's kind of cool.
I don't like the fingerprints.
Yeah, fingerprints drive me batshit.
Well, and touch and Windows just doesn't. Those two things don't go together.
Yeah, Windows is not.
Touch works very well on this machine. It does work well. But as Nick said, the ergonomics is poor, and it's bad. You can't sit here with your hand straight out in front of you typing, or I tried it once. Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Your hands aren't meant to bend that way. And I'll tell you something. This would be a really good way to solve this issue if you were rich, of course. If you had one of those, what do they call them? Those tables that have the touchscreen built into them, the Windows tables or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, get one of those. That would be perfect for what for touching and everything.
Very true. So yeah, you know, overall, I wouldn't recommend it for the normal. Oh, Dylan just joined on his iPod. Just wait. He's in love with his iPod. I think he's already better at navigating it and using it than I am with my iPhone.
Well, see, I realized once I got this, I realized how much I missed my iPhone 3G.
Before we jump into our stories and our reviews and stuff, I do want to say really quickly, Dylan, thank you again for having me over last weekend, and thank your dad again.
Oh, anytime.
We had a lot of fun just hanging out, being crazy. And it was actually really relaxing because I did work part of the time I was there, but the weekend itself I didn't. And it was quiet, and we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, the next stop, iPad. That's what it is. The table thing, the Surface. Yeah, that would be a great device to use.
I wouldn't mind having a Surface if I could use it as like a coffee table. I wouldn't want one of the other ones.
Microsoft Surface?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it is so fun to play with. We had the Surface. The Microsoft team brought those to Gnome Decks the last 2 years, and we got to play with them. They're awesome. But what the hell purpose would it serve in your home? You know? I don't know.
It's for fanciness.
Right. It's a lot of fun. So, okay, Mr. Richmond, I see your question, and I appreciate your question. And if we have enough time at the end of the show,
we don't answer tech questions here anymore. Okay, I had to change that because too many people came into chat on the live stream asking me tech questions all the time. So we actually have a system for this. If you have a tech question, go to dylan.combs.tv and click on Ask Dylan at the top. It's in the top bar to the right of the live page button and all that. Fill out the form there, and I will answer your question in a YouTube video. But I will not do it when you ask it, and I won't do it on the live stream like now because I'm doing a show.
You never know. If you have a question that Bradley or I can answer, Dylan might let us be on the video too.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
If it's security or privacy, feel free to ask me.
Or you can email me because that might be easier. Dylan@combs.tv. I can do it that way too. I take questions through email for the videos too. I'm doing a lot more YouTube videos now, if you guys haven't noticed.
Yes, and I'm very proud of you for that.
Especially now that my subscribers are going up.
Yep. We're going to keep working on that.
Absolutely. So now I want to move on to the iPhone case reviews. I don't have any of them here. So, Kat, I'm just going to turn it over to you. You can tell us about these cases and all that fun stuff.
That sounds good. And now, please, everybody, keep in mind who's watching live and listening later. I've written reviews before about products and stuff. This is my first time actually doing something like this, so go easy on me. And Dave Delaney, I know you're listening either now or later. Yeah, don't beat me if I suck. As I said, I'm a Griffin fan. I had a very generic, ugly case on my 3GS after Chris sent it to me back in July. So I show up at Gnome Dex, and I had this ugly, cheap case on there. Dave Delaney saw it, and he says, "Oh, my God, give me your phone." Literally, that's what he said. I'm like, okay. I hand him the phone, and he yanks this case off, throws it in the garbage, and slaps a Griffin case on there. Boy, am I glad he did that. 2 days later, I proceed to drop the phone on Chris Perlow's back wooden deck, bounce the phone on the deck, not a scratch on it, didn't hurt it. I said, holy crap, this is a good case.
You were willing to risk that?
I didn't do it on purpose.
Oh.
I dropped it.
I thought you were testing it.
Oh, God, no, I'm not that stupid. I dropped it, and it did. I dropped it hard enough on the wood deck that it bounced. And I'm sitting there going, "Holy crap! I just killed my phone." No, not a single problem, not a scratch, not a nothing. And I'm like, "Okay, not only does this case look and feel good, it really, really works and protects." So I've been a huge Griffin fan since then. I got my iPhone 4, upgraded to the 4 back at the end of October. I bought it at the Cube, the Apple Store in Times Square.
I've always wanted to go there.
When I was in New York City, that place is awesome. And they didn't have Griffin cases. They had crap cases. I didn't like any of them, but I'm like, I'm not walking around with this phone like this. So I bought one of the crap cases, and I've been unhappy. As you know, when you're researching a product, sometimes you can read all you want on the websites, but you really don't know what they're like until you try them out. I don't know about you, but I can't afford to buy 5 or 6 Griffin or any other brand of cases just to try them out.
Yeah.
So I emailed my buddy Dave and said, "Look, I would love to do some research, love to do some testing. What can we do? I have this podcast that I'm on." And he's like, "Really?" So, of course, Dave hooked me up and sent me 3 Griffin cases. The beauty of it is I do not have to send these back. I got to choose the one that I wanted to keep on my phone, and I get to give away the other to 2 of you guys. Awesome. So let's get into this. He sent me the Reveal Etch Graphite, and I will put all of these links in the show notes, just so you know. The Reveal Etch Graphite, I hope I say this right, Elon Form Graphite, and the Motif. So we'll start with the Reveal Etch. It's very, very thin. I don't want to say plastic. I think it's polycarbonate. On the back, you slide your phone into it, and then the little rubber lip comes up around the top of the iPhone so that it protects around the very edge in the top. It's one piece. I had an issue with that one while I was testing it. It does protect well. It feels good. You know, it covers it well. However, I noticed very, very quickly within about an hour that debris and icky crap was getting up under that rubber lip. and up against my screen, and that bothered me. Did not like that. Other than that, if you can ignore that and wipe that away, and that happens, I guess, with a lot of cases, people tell me. Other than that, it's excellent. Like I said, it's very sturdy, very well made, and does protect it really, really well. So I do like that one quite a lot. The next one is the Elon Form Graphite. My buddy Dave sent me a pink one, and I will tell you right now that this is the one I'm keeping. It is two pieces. It does have the same type of back. The front of it is just very thin, not clear plastic. It's pink, but it's see-through. It snaps together, and I'm going to tell you what, it's hard to take apart. When it snaps together, it stays together. It doesn't slide around. It doesn't have give and play. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to worry that the two pieces are going to come apart easily if you drop it. Matter of fact, the phone got dropped in the middle of the night last night, not by me. I had it sitting on a small end table next to the bed, and I got woken up in the middle of the night because one of the kittens knocked the table over, crashing it to the ground, and of course my phone along with it. And once again, there's not a scratch on my phone. Everything works absolutely perfectly.
Nice.
So that right there, I was still torn. As of that point, I was still torn as to which of these cases I wanted. When that happened, keep in mind, my room is in a basement, y'all. And the floor is concrete with no carpet where that happened. So this phone got dropped face down on a concrete floor with the Elon Form Graphite on it. And there's not a scratch on it. There's no debris on it. Everything works absolutely freaking perfectly.
What does I got some advice. If you got one of those cases that do get some debris or dirt in them, every now and then, maybe like once every few weeks, take your iPhone out of it, polish up both sides of the iPhone, right?
Yep.
You take the case, take a can of compressed air, just like you use on your computers, and blow that crap out.
Yep.
And you know, just wipe it out real clean and make sure everything is out of there, and that will usually do it.
I've noticed with this Elon Form, I just got these the other day, so I didn't get to use each case for like a week at a time, but I did use them quite a bit and cycled through them just to make sure. This one that I'm keeping, the pink Elon Form one, it fits really snugly against it. I took it off not too long before we started the show today. There's no debris under it, no dust, no nothing. It fits nice and snug up against the phone and prevents that from happening. Love it. Absolutely love this case. And it does come in pink, as I said, black, white, and a really pretty bright blue color. It's dark but bright. So there you go. The last one they sent me, I love you, Dave, don't be mad, is the Motif. I personally don't like it. It works well. It protects well. I just don't like the way it looks. It's more like a skin almost. It's done like a smoky kind of color where you can sort of see through it and sort of not. That's personal taste. I don't like the way it looks. It is scuff resistant. It's tear resistant. You've got easy access to your multi-touch. It works very well. And it's got, of course, all the cutouts that you need for your cameras and things like that. I don't like the way it looks.
I'm looking at it on Griffin's website right now, and compared to the other ones, I think this is the one that I
want. Hey, if we can get us some links to these in the chat, that would be nice.
You want them in there now?
We
can just put them in the show notes.
I've got all of them open.
Okay.
So there's the first one.
Here's one thing to remember. A lot of these cases, and this happens with the bumper, because I did order a free bumper because I already had a case, so I figured why not use it as a backup. You have to dig your fingernail a little bit to, you know, get to that mute button. Mm-hmm. With this current Incipio case, it's a wraparound one piece that's got like this, I don't know what you would call it, material that's just very stretchy and all that other crap. But you wrap it around, and all the holes you can easily get to without any problems. The only problem with this particular Incipio case is because of the material it's made of. Dust likes to collect on here like a magnet, so you have to, you know, wipe it off every now and then.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's not a problem.
Well, it's important to note, on Griffin's website, it does say that the material used to make this motif is stiffer than the silicone-based flex grip cases. A lot of people like the flex grip. It's still more flexible than the polycarbonate cases, which is the other two that I have. the motif it is, and just touching it, it feels softer. It doesn't feel like hard plastic, and it is really flexible. But it's very important to note that it is a lot stronger than what you think it is. So, I don't know. And like I said, it works really well. It's made very well. It's just personal preference. I like this pink one, and I know for a fact it works because it got bounced off the concrete floor last night.
Well, I can say this. If Dave from Griffin is listening, hey Dave. I want to thank you for sending those iPhone cases to Kat. We appreciate that very much, as definitely. We love to review products here, and we don't get to do it nearly as often as I'd like to. However, I would like to make a very simple request, and that is that my iPod Touch not break next time I drop it. And I think you could make that happen.
Absolutely. So I bet you want to know how you can win. As I said, I am keeping the Elon Forum Graphite. So if you would like to have either the motif for the iPhone 4 or the revealed etch graphite for the iPhone 4, sadly, sorry guys, you have to live in the U.S. or Canada. Cat's poor and cannot afford to ship these to Australia or somewhere. All you have to do in order to win is follow me on Twitter, Kat Armstrong, K-A-T, Kat Armstrong. Also, you need to follow at Griffin Tech, G-R-I-F-F-I-N Tech. And then just send a tweet. Say, hey, Kat Armstrong, I want to win an at Griffin Tech iPhone 4 case. I will choose two random winners sometime Monday night, and I will DM you to let you know that you've won and get your address. So,
awesome.
You know, send those tweets, and I will gladly send these to you.
Looks like something I'll have to do, because I have a 4.
Yeah, there you go.
You can't enter. You're on the podcast. You're disqualified.
Because I'm going to close my... I'm going to pull up a search of everyone that does the right thing, and I'm going to close my eyes, literally scroll up and down, point, and that's who wins. That way there's no cheating. There's nobody can say, that person is Kat's friend. I'm literally going to close my eyes, scroll, and then point. Yeah. And that's how I'm choosing.
And there's always that one person who's like, cheater, cheater, cheater.
I know.
That happens every time I've ever done a giveaway.
Right. And I am working on some future giveaways, guys, so... I promise you that I'm working on some that will be worldwide, software, things like that.
Especially when you won. What was it that you won on the show?
I won that quad-core computer on Chris's show.
No, so you won something on my show.
On yours? No, I didn't.
Yeah, you won, what was it, an iTunes card?
Oh, no, somebody else did, and then they used it to buy me stuff.
Oh, no, I remember you winning something, and then people were like... yeah, they were like, oh, she cheated.
You did win stuff, Kat.
I don't remember.
Anyway,
we have a lot. Dave, thank you so much. Griffin, I love you guys. I really do. I don't just say that. When I tweet and say something about I love my at Griffin Tech, I mean it. You guys rock, and thank you so much for doing this with us.
We have a question in the chat room. Does Griffin Tech make any Android, specifically Droid X phone cases? I don't know.
Clicking.
I don't know.
If you go to griffintechnology.com/products, you will
see... That's a new top-level domain.
Right?
They do, actually. I got it open right now. They do.
iPhone, iPod, different mobile, Mac and PC accessories, Zune, tablets...
Oh, no, not Droid X, not Droid X. Droid Incredible, Evo, Era, Droid 2, and, Motorola X. Is that the Droid X?
HTC Aria, the Droid 2, the Motorola X, yes.
Yeah, if that's Samsung, it, then yes. BlackBerry.
So, yeah, pretty much if you've got a mobile phone, you can probably find a Griffin.
Yeah, any kind of smartphone, probably.
Unless you're my mom and don't have a smartphone and have a Nokia phone that was made 3 years ago.
Your mom still has an old Nokia?
Yes.
Wow.
Anyways.
Wow. You know, it's not only about cases, too. They have all kinds of things. And I happen to have an external battery. It's called the Power Block Reserve that Chris gave me. I would have died without that thing every time I travel. Fantastic. So I'll plug that too.
Well, all right. There we go. So, guys, enter to win those iPhone cases. We love doing giveaways here. And once again, thanks to the great folks at Griffin for making that possible.
And we already have people tweeting to win.
Sorry, what?
We already have people tweeting to win.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Awesome. Hopefully we'll get a lot more.
Yep.
Hopefully. All right, so are we ready to move on to the tech news for the day?
You were
Yes?
Yes, go.
All right. I got the first story. Missing features in the upcoming Mac App Store. This was from my LockerNote blog a couple days ago. Apple has informed developers they'll be missing two important features in the new Mac App Store. First and most important to me is Game Center. Game Center is a feature that I've enjoyed in iOS and use all the time. It makes gameplay a lot more competitive and enjoyable. And I think it'll definitely be missed in OS X, considering all the game releases that are coming out on OS X in the near future. I hope it'll be added in the future if Apple or its users decide how nice it would actually be to have there. We'll also be missing in-app purchases. I think this is a good thing. I have never been a fan of in-app purchases. I don't know about you guys, but I would much rather just pay outright for an app in the App Store than download a free one and buy extra features from within. So I'm actually kind of glad to see that we won't have in-app purchases. They also took out a couple other features that I don't like so much. A couple smaller features. Beta programs, gone. Demos, gone. Free trials, gone. And the biggest one, in my mind, promo codes, gone. None of that stuff will be in the Mac App Store.
They don't mess around.
So no promo codes, no free trials, no demos, no beta programs, no Game Center, and no in-app purchases on the Mac App Store. So the lack of all these features just might cause the Mac App Store to not quite be as successful as we've expected, but only time will tell.
They do state that they say you should use like your website if you want to do a beta or a demo or something. That is a good place to do it, but I think with the big lack of features, there's going to be some complications. It's very limited. But if you think about it, they're kind of designing this to be, when you're really serious about purchasing, this is the official store. If you want to purchase something and have the final version, no sneaking around or any crap, you just want the real app, here you go. Pay this one-time fee, it downloads as easy as it would on your iPhone, and here you go. No bait and switch, no nothing. This is it.
Well, you know what I think is going to happen is because Game Center's not being included, where are people going to go to, you know, to get achievements in games and all that kind of stuff? They're going to go to Steam on the Mac.
Yeah.
They're not going to download their games through Game Center. They're going to go to Steam.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they were going to think of with Game Center. I mean, you know, it's okay for a mobile environment, but on the desktop, people are going to want the real deal, Steam, because that's where the real gamers are gaming.
Right.
Game Center is more of a... what do you call them? Minimum gamers?
I would really like to see Game Center in OS X. I think it'd be nice to have there. Not for all games, but for certain types of games, I think it would work very well on the desktop.
How would you pay for the apps, Jolly Snowman? I guess you would just, you know, go
through
your iTunes account.
The same way you pay for them now.
Yeah, it would just bill you just as if you bought an iPhone application or something.
I am not a fan of the way they charge for apps because it makes it so easy to spend a lot of money really quickly. I found that out. I spent $20 on apps in an hour.
Why do you think they do it that way?
I was like, oh, I can't do this, and then I spent some more of my own money on apps. By the time I had the iPod for like 3 days, 4 days, I had already spent over $30 on apps.
Yeah.
And it was weird because I thought I'd be able to get all my apps back that I had on my iTunes account from when I had my last iPhone, but something happened. I don't know what I did, if it was my fault or not, but those apps are gone. I can't get them back. I had to rebuy them all.
That sucks.
You should have called Apple, because in some cases they will give you back if you like lost a bunch of music or something.
Yeah.
They might.
I might still have to do that. I mean, certain ones, like when I went to download the AOL Instant Messenger app, when I downloaded AIM, it's like $1.99. I know I paid for it once already on my old iPhone. And when I downloaded that, it said, oh, you've already paid for this. You can just download this for free. So I was like,
that's
cool.
If you have the same iTunes account as you did on your old iPhone, Apple can probably verify that you did pay for what you bought in the past.
That's the thing, though. I don't remember the apps. There's nowhere for me to go in and look at a list of all the apps I had.
But shouldn't they be able to restore that somehow if you call them? I don't know. I've never had to deal with this. I'm brand new to iTunes.
They should have it on record.
Months ago. That's what I would think. If you call them and you're using the same iTunes account, I would think they should be able to restore that. You shouldn't have to remember what you bought. It should be remembered for you.
Yeah, they're going to have a list of all your transactions through a sheet or something.
Well, see, I think what happened is when I first hooked up the iPod, it said, would you like to restore backup from iPhone 3G? And that's what my old iPhone was named, just iPhone 3G. And I said no, because I was like, I don't want all the crap I had on that on here, because I had a bunch of free apps that were shitty, and I didn't want them all back. So I was like, no, I don't want to restore backup. I want to start all over and choose what apps I want to sync. And then I was like, it'll just tell me which ones I have, and I can just sync the ones I want. Wrong. It didn't show me any apps. It showed I had zero and doesn't give me the option to bring that backup back now. So I don't know.
Hmm.
We'll see. I might have to call them. Figure out what to do about that.
In other news, the United States military has just recently banned physical media in response to leaks recently, like thumb drives and disks and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. All about the WikiLeaks is probably what started this. It says, in the wake of a recent high-profile leaks, some branches of the United States military have taken a step that may end up being as controversial as its cause. Ironically, the news comes via a leaked memo obtained by Wired's Danger Rooms that insist that everyone from grunts to techs immediately cease use of physical media on all system servers and standalone machines residing on Cypernet.
Yeah, however they pronounce
that one. Under pain of court-martial. Yeah, Cypernet is their internet, basically, that's separated from everything else. So yeah, the military's... This is something the military should have been doing a long time ago. Because it is so easy to walk out with classified documents and information on a thumb drive and just transport it somewhere.
Hmm.
Also, that's a way to spread malware.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's not really much to say about this except, why hasn't this been done years and years ago? What the hell?
I mean, this isn't going to stop stuff from leaking out, though.
No, but it's just a basic logical fundamental of something that should have been done in security practices.
Yeah,
it's too easy to walk out with classified documents with a thumb drive, and no one would know you did it.
Yeah, years and years ago wouldn't have been a problem. Now it is.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's good that they banned physical media. Then, I mean, who uses physical media anymore anyway?
Well, it's mainly thumb drives. Everyone uses a thumb drive nowadays. It's not about floppies and disks as much as it is these thumb drives and USB keys, or even portable hard drives.
Yep.
Anyone could take a thumb drive, stick it in a machine, copy whatever they want, as long as it fits on the drive, and remove it. So I guess the U.S. military is going to make it so you put it in there and it's not going to recognize it, or it's just not going to be able to do anything with it. I don't know, but...
So what, you're just not allowed to have thumb drives anywhere in on a military base now, or what?
That's the way it sounds, yeah.
Yeah. Here's some more information about it. Cypernet would be the internet-like network used for the Department of Defense for some secure communications away from the rest of the world. I have assumed the most sophisticated firewalls and electronic countermeasures available. Otherwise, how could they think that a simple and unenforceable ban on removable media could possibly stop leaks? Yeah, this is basically just one measure that should have been taken a long time ago, and people are still going to leak information because it's just too easy.
Yeah.
You have something on a computer, it's going to get out. There's not really much else to say about this.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to go back in time 20 years and put it all on paper again.
No, it's not going to happen. Everything, our health records, everything is going to computers.
No, our health records are going to Google with Google Health.
Yeah, everyone's going to have more access to be able to hack into stuff and get people's information, leak stuff out. But that's just the nature of the beast. People have to understand what they're getting themselves into. If they want to use computers, they need to hire security professionals to lock it down. This is the government. This is the U.S. military we're talking about, not a freaking daycare center who doesn't want you to go on porn sites.
Yeah.
This is serious stuff.
It is.
Serious business is serious.
Well, speaking of serious business, how about we talk about privacy a little bit?
Oh, this will be fun. And Facebook.
Yes, because I broke this news in the middle of the night last night, which is why I overslept today. Sorry, Bradley. I am fanatic about my Facebook wall. I don't use Facebook that much myself, but I don't like a lot of crap on my wall. So when someone pokes me or sends me an iHeart or something like that, I delete it from my wall. I clean my wall up, so to speak. So I did this yesterday, as usual. I remove recent stories, you know, pokes, everything like that. So I know my wall was nice and clean last night. As I was working, I opened Facebook to be able to post a link to Chris's wall as him, because I'm a page administrator. And of course, it goes to, when I type in Facebook.com, it goes to my newsfeed. And I saw that my daughter, who is away for the weekend, had posted something. So I quickly just commented back to her. And then I went back to my wall for something because I wanted to look for something. And I was like, what the hell? Wait a minute. That wasn't like that before. Everything that I had posted to her wall showed up on mine. Now, it used to say, you have posted on Becca's wall, or you posted on who, you know, Chris Perlow's wall. And that's all it said under recent news or recent stories. Now it's showing the entire message. And I'm like, wait. So I went to my mother's account, who is as locked down, secured as you can possibly get on Facebook. She's fanatic about that. Doesn't want anybody reading her stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I posted a simple little, hi, mom, I miss you message. See you at Christmas. Go back to my own wall. Lo and behold, it showed up. I asked somebody who is not friends with my mother to check and verify they could still read what had been posted on my mother's wall simply by looking at mine, which is not locked down. That's a problem. That's a real problem.
Well, welcome to Facebook.
Right? So, of course, I did the right thing, called and woke Chris up, and I said, you want to come and get on your computer and test this and make sure I'm seeing this correctly? Because, as usual, there's no announcement. There's no nothing on Facebook blog, nothing, no stories anywhere about this. So I essentially literally broke this news last night. Chris and I took a bunch of screenshots to show, you know, what we were seeing. And we've seen a ton of backlash already on Twitter and blogs. People are not amused, as usual. You know, a lot of people won't think this is a big idea or a big deal, and they might like it because they've got that record now. Say you post on Joe Blow's wall and Joe Blow doesn't like it and deletes it, you still have a record of it because it's still on your wall even if he deletes it, which, again, I think is bad juju. Some of you might like that.
Well, if you put anything on the internet, everyone has it.
Exactly. It's you should expect that it's going to be there. But a lot of people still are old school and feel that, you know, if their Facebook page is private, it shouldn't show up somewhere else.
Yeah, I've done so many rants on this. If you put it on Facebook, it's public. That's it.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what the settings are. If you have to have that mindset, otherwise you're going to get yourself in trouble.
Yep. So, and when I wrote the article, I even said, this is bad juju, Zuck. You know, you thought people were screaming about privacy before. You ain't seen nothing.
You know, the funny thing is, though, everyone's going to bitch and moan about this, yet they're still going to use Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't make a damn's worth of difference.
However, Ime, Hips for Hire, at Hips for Hire on Twitter, she's a good friend of mine, friend of Chris's. She, when I was posting all this on Twitter last night and working on the story, she said, but is this going to change the way you use Facebook? Absolutely, it will. Because I'm going to be a lot more cognizant now of what I post on, say, again, my mother's wall, because I know she doesn't want that showing up. So either A, I'm going to be very careful what I say from now on, or B, I'm going to immediately have to go back to my own page and make sure I delete it, because she doesn't want my 500 and some friends, my quote-unquote internet strangers, reading what I posted to her wall.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it will change the way I post on Facebook. And that, I think that's the key. I think that's wrong.
I love that term, by the way. Internet strangers.
Don't even get me started. My mother is still of the mind that everybody I meet on the internet is out to rape, kill, or maim me in some way. So I'm sure she's very shocked and surprised, Dylan, that you did not do that last weekend when I was at your house.
Well, at least she knows what could happen.
Right, exactly.
Better than the little teeny bopper who thinks she, the 40-year-old man.
She literally, and I'm not exaggerating, she literally had a panic attack the first time I told her I was going to a convention to meet internet people. Literally freaked out.
She'll always have that mindset, though. Yeah. It's a generation gap.
It is. So
I love when people don't understand the internet. It's hilarious.
So that's this week's Facebook news. And you know, I laugh every week because there's always something for Facebook to talk about. And I do the whole social media thing on this show. And everybody's like, are we ever going to go a week without talking about Facebook?
No. Nope.
I swear to you people, I had planned not to talk about Facebook at all this week. I had three completely different stories, nothing to do with Facebook, and then that news broke last night, and I had to talk about it.
Well, that's...
We're always going to do something new that's stupid.
That's tech news.
That gives me something to talk about, so thank you for that, Zuck.
Yeah. All right, so should I do a really, really stupid news story that's going to take me 2 seconds that nobody gives a shit about?
Of course. Why not? It's your show.
Okay.
You're the boss.
Okay, here we go. iTunes URL now used for ping tweets, itun.es. If you have iTunes and you use ping and you tweet from ping, your tweets will now include a link to whatever you're tweeting, and the link will be a short URL from the domain itun.es.
Woohoo, golf clap. I don't use ping.
I have a much better URL shortener.
Do you use ping?
Hell no.
No. Nobody uses it.
I haven't even registered for ping. Ping is a joke. Ever since Facebook cut ties with them, ping became a joke. Because if you can't connect to something like Facebook, why do you exist?
Yep.
Well, at least they still connect to Twitter.
I might not use Facebook, but 500 million people and on the rise do.
Yep.
Absolutely.
You know, I use iTunes because I have to use iTunes. Because I have a phone. But when ping was first released, of course, I had to research it and write about it for work, and I decided right then and there I didn't even want part of it. I have not tried it myself. I don't want to.
It's pointless.
Yeah.
You can't. Everything you can do on ping, you can do on MySpace or Facebook, and no one uses MySpace. But
the only thing I use, the only thing I use ping for, is I follow like three people on ping. One of which is Leo Laporte, and I follow Leo for one reason. His 15-year-old son uses his iTunes account and buys some really hilarious shit, and it's really funny to sit there and watch how much money this kid spends in a day.
It makes Leo look like he's all into the hip hop and the.
You know what? You never know. Maybe Leo is, and he doesn't want to admit it, and so he blames his kid. I've done that. I blame my teenager.
Nice. I mean, I swear, I saw the first day I started following him, I was like, holy crap, his kid just spent like $20 in an hour on iTunes.
Wow.
Just buying songs.
Right?
He's a freaking millionaire.
He was buying like 50 Cent and just all this. And then he bought, I'll never remember the name of it. But it was this crazy, like, electronic techno music. It was just, and I listened to the preview of it. I was like, this isn't music, this is noise.
Yeah, I can't see Leo listening to that, can you?
No.
He did play it on the live stream. That was pretty entertaining.
I bet his face and his reaction was hilarious when that started playing.
Yes.
Yeah, I could just imagine Leo.
He started dancing to it.
Oh, gosh. I don't even want to see that.
He almost fell off the ball again.
Speaking of strange stories, this next one that Bradley's going to talk about, I actually found this last night, and I IM'd him because I knew he was looking for stories. I'm like, dude, Bradley, you got to talk about this. Because I think this is great. I really do.
It's definitely something I wouldn't expect of this particular person to do. Okay, 4chan's Moot joins Lyra Ventures as an advisor. If you don't know, Moot started up the whole 4chan entity. Christopher Poole, a.k.a. Moot, the founder of 4chan and still stealthy Canvas Networks, is now a venture advisor. He just joined Lyra. Is that how you pronounce it?
Lyra, I don't know.
Lyra Ventures, a New York City seed fund started by Ken and Ben Lyra. While he is not a former partner, he will have the ability to greenlight deals. Poole joins other Lyra Venture advisors, Eric Hipua, CEO of the Huffington Post, and Jonah Periti. Yeah, I'm totally butchering these, but whatever.
I do it too, it's okay.
CEO of BuzzFeed, and co-founder of the Huffington Post. Ken Lehrer is the chairman of the Huffington Post, while his son Ben is the CEO and founder of Thrillist. And it basically talks about how they're going to have like this huge deep insight into the hacking slash underground entity of the internet now that they have this notorious person.
Well, the story says, you know, Moot is definitely, you can't argue, he is plugged into the hacker culture, not only in New York City, but everywhere. I mean, that's what he does. That's what he is. And
yeah.
And they want to tap into that.
Yeah, that's one better way than to get the 4chan owner. I mean, Christ, that's everything.
Right. You know, and people are probably shuddering right now. And they're like, what the hell would you want to give anybody from 4chan money for? Let me tell you what, there are some really brilliant, I don't like a lot of the things 4chan stands for and does. I have said that before. However, there are a lot of extremely intelligent people on 4chan.
Well, see, the thing about 4chan is
people.
It has to exist because there has to be a place for stuff like that to be. Otherwise, it's going to spread into the not-so appropriate areas. So if you know there's going to be nothing but that sick kind of stuff on 4chan, and you expect it on 4chan, then don't go on 4chan.
Right.
So that's where it's going to exist.
Well, if you don't want to see... Right. Right.
That's where it exists. And it's better than having it all around the internet where little kids go. The thing is, 4chan is a necessity to what the internet stands for. In my opinion, you have to have the pure freedoms of anonymous ties.
Yeah.
People to put anything they really want. Yeah, some's going to be illegal. Some's going to be really
You know, great. As I said, there are some really brilliant people there. Why not tap into that?
I don't think...
God only knows what could come of that if you give them the money and the resources.
I don't think Moot is into the whole fetish crap and everything that goes on over there.
He provides the area for them to do so.
He has an ideology, and he follows through with it, and it was 4chan. And he's made a lot of success in making the internet what it is.
So this and Moot's a troll, if you guys didn't already know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, he's providing, like Bradley said, it's a necessary tool.
Double-edged sword.
To be exactly who they are, what they are. It doesn't mean he does that. It doesn't mean he advocates that. So I personally think this was a brilliant move. I really do.
And he's doing something really big. So
yeah.
It's going to benefit society, and it's going to give an insight to normal people what's going on under those closed dungeons.
I'm excited to see what's going to come from that. I really am.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It'll be cool.
Indeed.
Dylan, I notice you've been really quiet through this story.
I always stay quiet during 4chan stories.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to get myself in trouble, so I just stay quiet during 4chan stories.
Right, I know.
So,
but, yeah, you know, hopefully, you know, they realize. And I, like I said, there are things on there that I just, as Bradley said, you stay away from if you don't like it. And there are things on and about 4chan that I may not like or agree with. But as a whole, I think... I applaud them. I think it's fantastic.
Look, some of the things I've seen it all. I don't even go there, but I've seen it all because I moderate enough forums and chat rooms to know what kind of stuff exists.
Oh yeah,
it's there. I really don't care. Yeah, it's inappropriate, but it's content, and it's there, and it's not going away. Get over it. Delete it and move on. Don't get all emotional over it.
See, to be able to be a regular on 4chan, you have to be able to see literally anything and not let it bother you.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that's personally how I am. I am not grossed out by anything. I really don't care. I don't like it, but I don't see anything.
Exactly. Negative. I mean, and I, you know, I've been on 4chan a time or two, and yes, there's some nasty shit there, but when I scroll past it, does it bother me at all? Absolutely not. I just scroll past it.
It kind of helps you understand the culture that's there, and it gives you an insight on technology and the dark side. And, you know, if you want to learn and be educated about that stuff, then that's a good place to go, whether you like it or not. There's other places to go, but that's the biggest.
Yeah.
Yep.
And for someone who does a lot in security myself, I think it's important to keep up to date with 4chan.
Absolutely. It is.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
While we're on the topic of 4chan, should we briefly mention what they did?
If you want to.
Yes, yeah. For people who don't know, we can throw this out there. They took down PayPal, Visa, and MasterCard all in the same day.
Well, yeah, more so the group that resides under 4chan, Anonymous, was
the big players
behind it. But they do reside under 4chan. That's where they started.
Exactly.
Anonymous is, of course, a vigilante group that has been, for a while now, defending the Pirate Bay and other organizations like WikiLeaks. They've been attacking the people who are shutting WikiLeaks down and trying to DDoS the Pirate Bay, you know, saying it's not right, so they DDoS back. To me, it's a huge flame war versus Anonymous and all these other companies. I think there's no right in it.
Well, my point is, I understand where Anonymous is coming from. I do understand, you know, they keep saying that they're just using it to, they're only doing it to raise awareness. And yes, they're doing that. And I do understand that. However, it's not PayPal or MasterCard or Visa necessarily that they're hurting. It's me. I get paid via PayPal. Therefore, I pay all my bills, buy my groceries, et cetera, through PayPal with my debit card. So if you take the PayPal site down, you just screwed me.
Yeah, it's doing more.
And I supported you to begin with. Do you see what I'm saying? So
no.
I don't think this is the right way to go about it. There's got to be a different way, guys.
A DDoS never solves anything, if you ask me. It's a political cry, and it's not the right way to go about it. You're only harming the innocent people who are stuck in the middle. And as Tiger mentions, real, genuine hackers don't really like this stuff because it gives them a bad image. The people who truly are in the black hat and white hat community of the hacking realm, who do this as a living, as professionals, this is petty crap. They don't care. It just makes them look like jackasses, and they don't want to be associated with the script kiddies and the little trolls.
Dylan, I have a link that I want you to throw into the show notes with this when you where we talk about this.
Okay.
Even though this wasn't planned to begin with, Tiger, as I mentioned every week, the beautiful and lovely Gladriel in our chat room, she is my security guru. That's who I learned from. I know nothing compared to her. She wrote an excellent post about this on bleepingcomputer.com, which is one of the sites that she helps run and I used to back in the day. I helped design their school the way it is now, actually. And she says, you know, considering that the actual DDoS bot they were using was offered on Twitter to any willing participant, this is more along the lines of what teens do when they get bored. Someone somewhere had the skills to, quote, make the bot, but it certainly wasn't the entire group. To qualify any of these as hackers is laughable at best.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing simpler than a brute force flood when the tool is handed to you on a silver platter and all you have to do is literally...
Even the person who made the tool isn't a genuine hacker. There's some bored teenager who has a little bit of programming skills and has nothing to do in life. And to answer Ninja, DDoS, distributed denial of service attack, is when you have thousands of millions of, even millions of computers, typically on a botnet, and they take their resources and bandwidth and shove it down the pipe of a particular server or in mass of servers, and it makes it so the website is inaccessible. It's being over flooded. You can't get to it. It's down for a certain period of time. It's childish and retarded, and it's not going to solve anything. There's no excuse for DDoSing people. It's just wasting my time, wasting your time, harming innocent people who won't ever use a service that exists.
Yeah.
If you really want to do something about it, call your freaking congressman, for God's sake. Quit being a baby. Do something that's actually going to have an impact in the legal system, because that's the only way... you know, in society, that's going to get anything done. Botnets are very hard to take down. Microsoft did a pretty good job of it, but there's millions of them still out there. It's not going away. So you just have to roll with it.
Yep.
So if that makes you angry, let's talk about something else that might make you angry or not.
Does it have to do with birds?
Oh,
yes,
also,
it does.
Yeah, go on.
My angry birds. Now Dylan's angry birds and Bradley's, I kind of got both of them hooked on it.
Yeah.
Darwin's, that's bad.
Go me, what?
I was talking about the...
Oh. Well,
they're just as pathetic. The people that do that. They're just showing their childish immaturity. Because they think they understand the internet. I have no sympathy for them. Anyway, go on.
Okay, anyways, as I was saying, we're going to talk about Angry Birds next. Some of you are going to jump on this and think it's great. However, I will change your opinion, maybe. The Angry Birds developers are fed up with the way that things are done inside of Android, as far as app purchases and things. So because of that, they're launching something they're calling Bad Piggy Bank, which is a mobile payment system. Now, This will make it very simple for you to tap a button while you're in the app, in your game, playing Angry Birds. You can update, you can buy another version of it, such as one of the holiday versions. You'll be able to potentially buy the little stuffed animals and whatever other cool, awesome Angry Bird merchandise they come out with. That's great. That's easy. I love it. Oh, did I mention that it's going to add money to your phone bill instead of a credit card or an iTunes account or
anything
like that?
Don't like it.
Right. So when your child is playing Angry Birds, such as my 3-year-old granddaughter who played it the other night for half an hour, all she has to do is push one button and there goes a bunch of money on my phone bill next month. I don't think so.
Yep. They better have a lock.
They better put some kind of safeguard. Yeah, absolutely. And as of right now, there's nothing that says anything about that. It just is talking about how great and easy and quick it is.
You know why they're doing it? Because it is easy and because it's an emotional appeal that's going to get people to do it because it's there.
Yep.
And it's called, there's actually a term for it. If something is easy enough, more people are likely to do it.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's true. And I do understand that. And hey, I'm all about it because it'll be easier for me as well. But I can just see, like I said, Jenna's going to start pushing random buttons and I'm going to get, you know, $10, $15, $20 worth of charges on my phone bill that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
And you won't know it till your phone bill shows up.
Yep.
Or the merchandise shows up, whichever.
Yeah, that's. I don't know why.
Put safeguards in place.
Yeah, and this, you said this was Android, right?
Android first. It will be rolled out for iOS and the other devices.
I'm not sure Apple's gonna or AT&T is gonna be too fond of this. Apple might not allow it to go through that way. They might say no, you have to use our iTunes account.
Right, and that may happen. So we'll have to see what does.
I hope Apple applies their strict policies on this one because this is kind of, you know, a little shady.
It's like I said earlier, I'm not a fan of in-app purchases, and this is no exception. And now, if they had, if they want to advertise to me in the app and say, hey, you want to buy this other version, you want to buy this add-on for the game, that's fine. If they want to link to the App Store, and then I tap that, and it goes to the App Store, and I can buy and download there, that's great. I wouldn't mind that at all, but I don't want to make any purchases within an app, and certainly not if it's going to add on to my phone bill.
Yeah, even an ad that would put you to their site with the merchandise and you could buy it with a credit card and stuff, that's fine. But not inside the app with a different payment system. There is no reason why, especially on Apple, why it would have to be separate from the iTunes account. I don't think Apple's going to allow that either because they're going to want a piece of that money.
In my case, my dad will have a heart attack before I will because I'm on a shared family plan. The bill goes to my dad first before I even know it's there and I can log in and see it. And last month, I had like $5 worth of charges for international texting. I had been texting my friend Kyle in Australia. And my dad flipped out. And I'm like, Dad, why does it matter? I'm paying the money. You know, but it's just one of those things. He sees it and it's something he doesn't expect. So my dad's going to get this bill and there's going to be $20 worth of charges for some game and he's really going to flip.
You know, if you had Google Voice, those international texts would be a lot cheaper.
Yes, I know.
It's like a penny a message or something ridiculously cheap like that.
So I'm gonna pull rank and I'm gonna skip Dylan because I really want to talk to Bradley about Patch Tuesday.
Good, because I was lazy and didn't get a third story. So.
Well, this is big.
All right. Let me
Patch Tuesday.
Okay, December 2010 Patch Tuesday will come with the most bulletins ever. There's going to be the most updates, and it says here, according to the Microsoft Security Response Center, Microsoft will issue 17 security bulletins addressing 40 vulnerabilities on Tuesday, December 14th. They will also host a webcast address to address questions. Basically, what you have here, I'm going to break it down. You have a bunch of remote code executions, which is the majority of these patches. You have elevation of privileges, which also makes up a big number. You have a few denial of service on here. And basically the most I can see on this list, has someone already linked it?
What?
Here. I will link you this. And as you can see, a lot of these apply to XP. More than anything, XP. And even so, Vista. So what does that tell you?
Right.
I thought they were going to stop that.
Look at Windows 7, people.
Yeah, I mean,
it's time to look at upgrading.
And this is the biggest one yet. And they do address the Stuxnet problem. That's finally going to go away. That last problem's gone. in this patch up. They're also going to address the IE 6 and 7 vulnerability that's been going around for a while. The same one that for IE 8, the DEP prevention protected you. That issue is going to be resolved. There's two critical updates. The rest are important with one moderate. Personally, I advise you to download every one of these that apply to you and your system.
Are they patching for Internet Explorer 6 and 7? Hey, Microsoft, here's an idea. Microsoft. If you've got people still using Internet Explorer 6 and 7, browsers that were made 5 years ago, instead of patching it, here's an idea. When it launches, make it come up with a page that says, hey, your software is old and outdated. Update it or you're not getting on the Internet. Make them download the updates.
Well, it's corporate. It has nothing to do with end users.
Go
corporate
to IE9.
Their corporate is the biggest market, and they're not going to piss off corporate because that's where a bunch of the revenues go through. And the fact is, corporate can't easily upgrade as you think. It takes a lot of time and a lot of money.
Speaking of
corporate, everything is different in the corporate environment. It has nothing to do with end user.
Exactly. And speaking of corporate, let me point out, as far as this article goes, these updates also definitely apply to Windows Server 2008 and stuff. So this is going to be rolled out widely in corporate environments. So IT managers, you need to be ready. This is a huge update. This is going to take a lot of planning on your part to execute, number one. Number two, as I mentioned earlier on a different show, a lot of companies are not going to do this. It's a toss-up. On one hand, you've got these really critical issues that need to be addressed. They're finally going to be fixed, and you want to get these out of your systems and get them patched. However, I've worked in the corporate environment on the financial end. I've been a financial, I was the CTO, or the CTO, not the CTO. I wish I was a CTO. I was a CFO for a large company for several years. I handled all of the accounting. So I know how critical it is this time of year. You're trying to wrap up your year end. You're trying to take care of everything. We all know that these patches can take a system down. It happens.
Yep.
Period. And so you're balancing how important these updates are against, do you want to take a chance of your crap crashing right before end of year? So I understand, I really do, but you need to deploy it carefully, you need to deploy it slowly,
yeah,
but you
you're
need
gonna,
to deploy it.
You're going to be taking a few weeks. You're going to be taking a few weeks of hard work figuring out how these are going to work with your systems.
But don't just ignore it because it's year end or because it's the holidays. You've got to do this, guys.
Like I said, this is fixing several very critical updates. The Stuxnet problem is getting resolved. The IE vulnerability for 6 and 7 is getting resolved. And I can guarantee you 98% of corporate is using IE 6 or 7. That's just the way it works.
Yep.
So this will fix that problem. So you need to make sure you at least get those in.
And a lot of the schools are going to be cringing too because they're getting ready to wrap up for the holidays.
Yeah,
maybe not Australia. They're out for summer.
Here's my opinion. Microsoft puts it out there. They make it so it's optional. You can choose to do it, or you can choose to risk your own problems. You can do it at your own pace, which is fine. Microsoft just puts it out there. It's your responsibility to apply it.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I just hope there's not that many end users that are still using IE6.
Well, if there is, it's usually the ones that don't even understand what a browser is, and you can't get away from that. Not everyone is as educated about computers as we are. You can't really do anything about that.
I know it would piss a lot of people off, but I still think Microsoft should force updates for some things, like browsers.
But I can understand why they don't, because people are going to get pissed off.
Like I said, they can't piss off corporate because that's their biggest revenue.
You know, if they go that route, Dylan, I see what you're saying, I really do. But if they go that route, you know, okay, I'm going to go back to my mother again, very basic computer user, doesn't know a whole lot. Her Internet Explorer doesn't work. What's the first thing she's going to do? She's going to download Firefox or Chrome.
Good.
They don't want that. Microsoft, from their standpoint, they're not ever going to do that because they don't want to take that risk. If they disable someone's browser, they're going to lose that customer on the browser.
Not to mention they're probably having anti-competitive results. One huge thing that they've done, actually, is with 64-bit Windows, they have started over. They have removed all the legacy crap. 64 was a new fresh start for Microsoft. So you can't, you got to give them credit. They, in some areas, they are willing to start fresh, and they will kick out all the legacy stuff at certain points, but they have to do it carefully because they're not like Apple. They can't just say, screw you, you got to buy a new Mac. They are controlling 90% of the market. They have an obligation and responsibility as a mass market corporation to put the stuff out slowly and as safely as they can.
Yep.
Well, I think we've got one more story, and then we got to finish up. I can't believe we've already been recording an hour and 5 minutes.
I know. And this is a fun, light one just to kind of end the week on. As we said, you know, numerous times, Christmas is coming in, what, 2 weeks? Yeah. Holy crap, I'm not even ready for this yet. But Barcode Hero... Hero? Wow, I can't talk. Barcode Hero wants to make it easier. This is kind of cool, and I actually thought about doing this with my granddaughters. They're totally reinventing the way that you do your holiday wish list or your letter to Santa. And it actually is, it's kind of cool. It focuses on product discovery through barcode scanning. So literally, you can take your iPhone, put this app on it, go to the store, and let your kid scan a barcode and create their wish list.
Nice.
All they got to do is point and click, basically. Scan the barcode of every freaking toy or CD or whatever it is that they want. Once their list is done, you can ship the list, complete with little thumbnail photos of the products, to quote-unquote Santa Claus. It will deliver a copy via email to parents or guardians, who can then share it with helper elves, such as Grandma and Grandpa, or Aunt Bonnie and Uncle Clyde, you know? This is totally designed with kids in mind. They can personalize the list with a letter to Santa to tell him whether they've been good or bad. And of course, they're all going to say they were good, except Jenna. She'll fully tell you she's been bad this year. They can take a picture of themselves to show Santa how cute they are, the whole nine yards. Instead of sitting down with pencil and paper, which, yes, some people still want to do that, this still allows for a lot of interaction with your kids, and you can personalize it as much as you want. Send it to whoever you want. So go ahead, send it to Grandma, because Grandma's probably got email.
So people still use paper? Cool.
Yeah, actually, we did that this year. We wrote out paper letters to Santa and sent them.
Oh.
It's fun, and it's cute, and it's a neat tradition.
Yeah.
Well,
but this
is
cool, too. And it is, seems like it'll be a lot easier.
Make sure you send all your stuff to Bad Santa, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
Hey, Bad
with
Santa.
With a chunk of coal, maybe if you've been good, I'll give you some alcohol. Or
I've been really, really cool. Do you know what I want the most? Something what? I discovered yesterday that somebody tweeted. They make Angry Bird iPhone cases.
God.
I
help us all.
Santa, I've been good.
I don't know about that.
I've been really good, dude.
I might have to buy a couple of those and give you one.
I want the red one, mm-hmm. Just saying. My sister wants the green pig one. I want the red one. It's not a Griffin case, but it is an Angry Birds case, so...
I don't know if Griffin will be happy about that.
Cat would be.
So,
he works really hard, and I've been really good, I swear. Nobody.
Hey, Cat, you want to spam?
I like spam, but spam is bad, and Santa might not come if I spam.
Okay.
All right, no spam. See you next week.
I lied. Spam is good.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Bradley, you're almost the birthday boy. You go first.
All right. As I said, I finally got a Combs email. You can... Wait, what's my Combs email again? Bradley@Combs.tv?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, great. I remembered. Okay, good. Alistair Moody... all around the network. Currently, my nick for Geek Shit is Bad Santa because, you know, Christmas. I'm going with the whole flow. On Twitter, it's Alistair Moody. And you can follow my limited tweets.
Tweet more, damn it.
Tweet.
Cat will beat that into the enough.
You bet I will. So, Speaking of Twitter, it's my turn to spam, correct? Correct. You can email me anytime. Show suggestions if you want to be a guest. I am in charge of coordinating our guests every week, and again, of course, we didn't have one this week. We do have a very cool guest for you next week. Dylan will probably tell you about that in just a moment. Email me anytime, questions, suggestions, comments. If you have products you want us to try to review, you want to be a guest, or you know someone you'd like to see, Cat or Cat Armstrong, either one, at combs.tv. I'm told both work now. Yep. Please remember that's KAT, not CAT. Likewise, if you want to find me online, pretty much you need to head to Twitter. Unlike Bradley, I am a complete Twitter addict. I tweet a lot. So you can find me at twitter.com/catarmstrong. Dylan, over to you.
Oh my God, that is win. Someone just posted a link in the chat room to Shoe on Head. From last week's show.
Ah! They put...
Oh no, that was Mike on Head. Mike on Head.
Yeah, I put the mic on my head. You put the shoe on your head. And I told you, if you stuck your dirty, stinky shoe on my head, I was going to kill you.
I still try.
Now, that's being naughty cat.
Nah! Yeah. I didn't do it. I just said I would.
All right, well, next week we have the King of Trolls will be on our show. The King of Trolls, also known as, what's his name? Steve from IHateSnow.com. The ever so popular jailbreaking site, IHateSnow,
will be on the show. And Steve tells me, he and I talked last night briefly about what we're going to do next week. And Steve tells me that we're going to discuss how he went from being a troll and a hacker to the good things that he's doing now. So make sure you tune
good,
in.
That's because people don't realize this, and I'll mention this on the show next week too. I've known Steve for like 3 years, and Steve used to troll the hell out of my show. When I used to do live shows on Ustream every day, he would come in and troll like you wouldn't believe, and he would Rickroll me and everything constantly.
Yeah.
This was years ago.
You know, we need people like him who can hack this hardware so people can get what they paid for.
Exactly.
We're not dealing with these restrictions anymore.
Yep. So, I could totally go into another story, but I won't because Dylan would shoot me. So, Dylan, spam yourself.
All right. Quick. Well, I am at combs.tv, twitter.com/DylanCombsTV, and on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDylanCombs. And, of course, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And I'm going to ask for something I've never asked for before, at least not for a long time. Leave us iTunes feedback, please. We are listed as DCL Productions in iTunes, so if you're not subscribed there, please do so and leave us feedback and 5-star ratings, please.
Heck, even I subscribe and download our podcasts.
Oh, really?
Yes, I do.
Nice.
And you're going to get this one up later today, correct?
Yeah, this will be up in about 2 hours.
He better. Me / Sharpen's knife.
There's only been 1 week that he didn't, and that was excusable because he was sick.
I know. Yeah.
So Dylan's really good, you guys, about getting everything edited and uploaded and ready to go. So as always, everybody in live chat, thank you so much for joining us. Once again, I have to give a very quick shout out to our two friends in Australia. I love these guys, Nick and Jamie. Every week when we do our show, it's like 4:30 in the morning for them on Sunday morning, and they set their alarms and get up just to be here with us live. Love that. Love that dedication. You guys are great. All of you, everybody in chat, thank you. We love you. Everybody who's going to listen later, thank you as well.
Are they... Yes.
Go ahead. What, Dylan?
Are they free to download? I think he was talking... Someone in the chat room asked about the podcast. Yes, the podcasts are free to download. The first time. The next time, it's $99.
It is not. No, you no. Wish.
I do wish. That would be awesome.
Wouldn't it? You think anybody would ever pay that? No.
I actually do have something planned for premium episodes in the future, which I'm not going to discuss yet, but it's in the works.
You guys, make sure you are subscribed, because before the show, if you watch the video later, I'm sure Dylan will link it when he uploads it. We were doing a little pre-show, and we were talking about some upcoming specials that we're working on. We've got some really cool stuff coming down the pipeline, you guys. So you definitely don't want to miss that.
Oh, and I just lost the game again.
You did, and on that note,
Goodbye.
I think it's time to say goodbye. And before we go, I got to give a quick shout out to Brad. What's up, Brad in Australia? Check out techwebcast.info. I got to give a huge thanks to Tech Webcast and techwebcast.info for being our biggest sponsor here at dylan.combs.tv and DCL Productions.
And for sending you that iPod so that you can start doing some app reviews and stuff. Love them for that.
Exactly. So check out techwebcast.info, and with that, I'll see you next time.
Later.